You are listening to the Victory Podcast. We hope this message will find favor in your life. For more updates about Victory, log on to victory.org.ph and bookmark our website in your browser. Now, here's your message.
We are on the second and final series of World Missions entitled, Are We There Yet? If you look at the titles of this series, it first ask the question, why are we going? Why are we going? So last week's message, you know, points us to one very important and central passion in the heart of God, and that is to reach the nations. Jesus lived 30 years in seclusion, and then he was launched out to his public ministry from age 30 to age 33, where he called his disciples, he taught them the principles and the values of the kingdom of God, because his hope is as he pours his life into these men, they will be the ones who will carry out his work. Finally, at age 33, he was crucified. You can only imagine that these people, all their lives, are putting their hope in their Lord and Master, only to see him hang and die on the cross. They were distraught, discouraged, they were disillusioned, but 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead. So here we are again. God has been pouring out his life into these men. Yes, he also ministered to multitudes. The scripture was recorded through the apostles as a result, but from the moment he resurrected from the dead up until the time he ascended into heaven, that is approximately 40 days. We talked last week about a bucket list. These are our wishes, things we want to do before we die. Jesus just rose from the dead and he's about to ascend into heaven. He had exactly 40 days. And let me tell you something, in those 40 days, he spoke nothing but the Great Commission. As a matter of fact, in 40 days, on 5 separate occasions, he slowly and progressively open their understanding into his global mission of taking the world. It is like a puzzle. If you look at in this puzzle, we gave you five pieces of them, and each one of them from the Gospels, including the book of Acts, is an incremental, progressive statements to give them a global vision. Why? Because up until this point, the paradigm of the disciples centers around Israel. At this point in time, if you want to know God, go to Israel. Come to Israel. If you want to experience God, come to the temple. This was such a radical shift when Jesus is not telling them, ask people to go to Jerusalem. Rather, Jesus is saying, you go. Wow, go. It was exactly the very opposite of what their paradigm they used to think before. You know, churches today are like that. Come to my church. Experience God in my church. While all of this is a great experience and God is using this, missiologists terms this the attractional force. But on the other hand, there must be a missional force going out. The Great Commission is not about come and see or come and be blessed. The Great Commission is about go and proclaim. I'm glad many of you have come to know the Lord by coming here. But there are multitudes of people who will never go to church until we ourselves go where they are and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. So if you take a look at this, you know, it took Jesus 5 different instances for them to be able to capture the essence of this message. And our take home, one main point is in this next slide. The only way to get there is to go and tell. And there is not a verse that captures the essence of this call than Romans chapter 10, 13 to 15, where it said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord does not discriminate whether people are Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists. The Bible says, anyone, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But what does the next verse say? But how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not even heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless Victory Metro East sends them out. The failure of the nations coming to Christ is the failure of the church to send workers. Before we rationalize, oh, they are resistant, oh, you know, they are really difficult people to reach, before we give any kind of excuse, we should first ask ourselves, are we faithful in sending missionaries to the world? The world is not believing because they are not hearing. They are not hearing because no one is preaching. And people are not preaching because the church failed to send them. This, my brothers and sisters, is our awesome responsibility. Every year, how many of you appreciate all of our series being taught here in church? I don't know about you, but I'm excited for next week. It's OPM2. Original, not Filipino music, but Filipino mindset. But every year, no matter the landscape of our series changes, hindi po nagbabago, taon-taon, dalawang beses, meron po tayong series on missions. Why? For three reasons. This is really a crown jewel for victory in terms of ministry priority because this is something that is very close to the heart of God. Pangalawa po, every time we have this mission series, it reminds us of our responsibility and obligation to get involved in reaching the nations. There are serious consequences if we avoid this responsibility. And thirdly, to give you practical ways to be involved, whether by going short-term or long-term missions, either by praying or by giving. We want to give you that opportunity today. To answer the second question, where are we going? The following four verses gives us the obvious answer. Matthew 24:14 says this, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations." Not some, not few, but all nations, and then the end will come. This is such a radical declaration. Listen carefully. This was such a radical declaration that the second coming of Jesus hinges on the fulfillment of this great commission. In other words, the end will not even be consummated. It will not come until this gospel of the kingdom impacts every culture, every people group. The gospel will have to bear witness in their culture before the end comes. Luke 24:47, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to where? All nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Matthew 28:19, "Go and make disciples of all nations." We have been commissioned with no less than reaching every nation of the world. And that, I can assure you, we are totally committed to do. It doesn't matter what the political landscape looks like. It doesn't matter what the financial landscape looks like. We want to obey God in this great commission. Acts 1:8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Guys, we are serious. So where are we going? To all nations and to the ends of the earth. Somebody had to sacrifice and labor to reach places like Boracay and other places that have to be reached with the gospel. I'm just kidding. But we are serious. It doesn't matter, big or small, we are to reach every nation and people. In the early days, they keep preaching to us that one day God will use the Filipinos to reach nations. It's like a flashback. Just as we were sitting there 25 years ago, an American team of 50 young students, Pastor Steve included, he was 24 years old. Pastor Rice included, he was 26 years old. They came here to church plant and they brought with them a short-term outreach for 1 month. I came in on the third day of that outreach. And they keep telling us, one day God is going to use you. Just to show we were polite, of course, we kind of nod our head, but deep down inside of me, yeah, good preaching, but no thanks. It's not going to happen. Easy for you to say that. You've got the green box, you've got the money, we don't. Little did I realize, it's not about our resources. It's not about our money. It's about a willing heart to go. After all, God is the one who provides for everything we need. You know, from that point on until today, we have sent out over 10,000 victory members to the different nations of the world in short-term mission. Over 10,000. Imagine that. We sent out every year for the last 26 years, hundreds and hundreds from our church. As a matter of fact, as we speak right now, we have teams in Cambodia preaching the gospel. We have teams in Taiwan preaching the gospel. We even have teams in Israel right now as we speak. Isn't that incredible? You know, I am on my 7th passport now. That does not mean I'm very old. You know, passports usually expires, what, 4 or 5 years? 5 years. I'm on my 7th one, not because I use them all up, but because many of them are only good for 2 years, and it's all full. The latest one I had to renew it because it was just 1 year old. There is no more place to stamp on it. It's full. It's packed. I am not the only ones doing this. Every time we go, we're not representing ourselves. This is our collective effort to touch the nation together. Pastor Michael is doing the same thing. Pastor Jonathan, as a matter of fact, he preached last Sunday. He had to leave for Cambodia Monday, and he just came back last night in time to preach again today. I mean, that's the kind of, because we are committed, really, to be a blessing to the nations of the world. The nations are very close to the heart of Jesus. To us, it may be a ministry priority. For some, we call it a crown jewel, a core value. But to Jesus, it's beyond all that. It's personal to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, He tasted death for every single human being born on this planet Earth. There is nothing more tragic than a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, an atheist who live and die without even knowing that Jesus died to forgive them of their sins and that He rose again from the dead that they might receive the gift of eternal life. Not everyone will be Christian, but at least they deserve to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I love for people to go to the nation so that when they go back, they appreciate the freedom that we have in this country. You know, you don't have to go to another country to be on fire for missions. I hope your friends and classmates will not look at you on Judgment Day. Man, we were together for 15, 20, 30 years. You didn't even tell me the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what? Don't take it personal when people reject the gospel. We have no power to change anybody or convert anybody. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit. But our responsibility is to tell them the good news, not the bad news, but the good news that Jesus Christ loved them. He died for their sins. Amen? Forgive them of their sins. Revelation 5:9, it says, "With your blood you purchase men for God." With the blood of Jesus. Guys, this is more than a ministry core value. This is more than a ministry program. To Jesus, this is His blood we're talking about. If this is personal to Him, it becomes personal to us. I hope we take reaching the nations very seriously. I mentioned earlier there are serious implications for not taking this gospel serious to other nations. You know, it was very explicit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord said, "Beginning in Jerusalem, you expand to Judea and expand further to Samaria." You know, the Jews hated the Samaritans. So part of missions is to deal with animosities and indifference towards other people. We can never reach the Muslims until we love them and pray for them. We have no right to preach the gospel to people we have not learned to love and bless. And not only Samaria, but extend it even to the ends of the earth. But what did the church, the first century church, did? They enjoyed revival. They had so much favor. Miracles were happening left and right. But they did not take the gospel deliberately to Judea and to Samaria. So what did God do? God sent an intense persecution. This is what happens. This happens in Acts 8:1. This is what happens. If you don't do Acts 1:8, the consequence is Acts 8:1. God will send a persecution to force us. So as they go, remember, Philip went down to Samaria in Acts chapter 8 and revival broke loose in Samaria. But it took persecution. Do you know that in the Philippines, in this nation, we have almost a similar history? We are one of the bright spots in Asia. We have Christianity for hundreds of years, though in pseudo form. But the elements of the gospel are there. But we were not aggressive to take it to our neighbors in China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Myanmar, and many other places. So you know what God did? God sent us Acts 8:1 in the form of an economic persecution. because of the economic persecution, so to speak, it forced the Filipinos to go into all the world. There is not a single nation on planet Earth where there are no Filipinos. We will only find out when there is earthquake and there are so many Filipinos in Haiti. So many Filipinos in Port-au-Prince. They are everywhere. And if you backtrack even in our history, you will discover something providential. We realize all the colonization we have by Spain for over 300 years. And then by the Americans, by the Japanese. All of that, what God did to prepare us to become the best missionary people in the world is to send cultures to us. We are a fine blend of East and West. That's why from the hottest to the coldest regions, the Filipino can adapt and even put a big smile on their face. Matindi ang Pinoy. Even the name of our country, Philippines, is not an accident. The name Philippines was named after King Philip of Spain, whose mother was a Christian who named him after Philip, the evangelist from the Bible. So that simply means that part of our divine destiny is to become evangelists to the whole world. It is an amazing perspective of our history. But let me tell you a quick story what happened to us. This is unusual. This is not normal in many ministries. I wish every ministry have the same passion as we have and hopefully more than what we have. But what happened to us? Everything started in 1984. I knew it because I was there. This whole entire movement started in June 15, 1984. I became part of Victory in June 17 when it was 3 days old. Don't compute. It may look like I'm a grandfather, but that's only figuratively speaking, not literally. Pastor Ferdy came in June 23, just few days apart from me. But we were part of the first fruits. After this outreach was settled, there are 120 of us that started this church. There were less than 10 who were professionals. The rest were pitiful, poverty-stricken students who can barely pay tuition and we can barely pay the rent of the church. Nobody owned a car during that time. These are our humble beginnings. How in the world can this poverty-stricken small group of people become 26 years later a world-class missionary movement that is impacting the world in amazing, amazing ways? Something happened to us in 1986 that revolutionized our entire paradigm about missions. You are all aware of this principle, sowing and reaping. If you sow, you reap. Kung kayo'y tatanim, kayo'y aani. If you sow a lot, you reap a lot. You sow little, you reap little. Nonetheless, you reap. But nobody really takes into consideration the factor of being a field, which the Philippines was for many years. Kaya hindi tayo nag-aani kasi buki rin tayo. We were the field. So if the Americans came and invested, even though you invest so much into the field, then the field never reaps. It's the sower who reaps. Kung ang Amerikano nagtanim, ang Amerikano ang aani, regardless of whether they are Australians, New Zealand, Singaporeans, whoever sow is the one who reaps. At alam nyo, if you have a third world poverty mentality, you always justify people giving because we are poor. Yes, come. Please, we don't have sound system. Help us buy sound system. Help us buy LCD. That's always the mentality. Now, please don't get me wrong. There are seasons in our lives where we really need legitimate help. Huwag tayong masyadong mayabang to ask for help. But it cannot be a pattern forever because that will develop what we call codependency. We're always looking to people that have money. And so when this revelation hit us, oh, we said, oh God, Lord, we can never break poverty thinking this way. So the only way to break the spirit of poverty is to shift roles from being a field to becoming a sower. Para pag nag-sower tayo, magiging reaper tayo. Sa totoo lang, pag tumanggap ka ng pera, ang tawag natin doon, blessing. Uy, may nag-bless sa akin. Uy, blessing to ah. But in reality, the real place of blessing is not in the receiving. The real place of blessing is in the giving. Because the Bible says, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So with all the faith we can master in 1986, this is how we support missions. Outside of our tithes and offerings, we made a monthly pledge for a period of 1 year each time, according to our ability to give. We made a decision, Every first Sunday of the month will be Mission Sunday. And to this day, that is how we support missions. We decided we make a pledge, which we will do later. And with all the faith we can master, we were able to raise a staggering amount of $200. That's all we can master our faith. But I'll tell you this. We divided that humble $200 into 8 units of $25 each. We sold $25 to our missionary to Japan named Jim Subers. We sold $25 to our missionary to South Africa. I'm still trying to remember his name. He's one of our apostolic leaders there. Cannot remember, but we supported $25 to a missionary in Argentina, $25 to a missionary in Mexico. We've sown our seed. And even though at the time we can barely pay rent in Victory, because we were a bunch of students, you know, to tell you the truth, our offerings is not enough to pay rent. So what we do, the inner core leaders come together and said, oh, short tayo 6,000? Sige, ito na lang. Bigay ko 300. Ambag-ambag kami so that we can maintain integrity to the landlord so that we could pay on time. And you know, when we started giving that money from 1986, the finance of Victory starts to go up, to go up. It never became red. It's black, 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 black. And to this day, we are giving millions, not every year, but monthly. Not a single peso is earmarked in the Philippines. All of that money is earmarked for international cross-cultural church planting and to our long-term missionaries. Isn't that amazing? Alam niyo, minsan, ang perception ng Victory, pang-elitista yan, mga social dyan. No? Victory never discriminate whoever comes to our church. Kaya nga tayo nagtatagalog service pa para ma-accommodate natin kasi hindi tayo ganun, wala tayong elitista. Kaya lang tayo may ganung perception kasi pinagpapala tayo ni Lord dahil sobra tayong generous. Ang sikreto, hindi doon sa mukhang social lang, kundi ang sikreto, generous tayo. That is why all these years, God had been so faithful to us. Amen ba? And we want to maintain that sense of humility and gratitude to God because God blessed us for a purpose and that is to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Maalala namin si Pastor Steve, paulit-ulit sinasabi, kung talagang seryoso ka member ng Victory, kailangan meron kang Bible to know God at meron kang passport to obey God. Gina-challenge namin mga young professional, huwag kayo magkasakit. Use your sick leave to go with your small group to another nation for outreach. We challenge them at least go to one country a year. Alam nyo, four years ago, nagpapadala na tayo ng 8 to 13 years old outreach team. Mahiya naman tayo, iba sa atin dito. They go na, hindi mga pipityuging bansa to, Vietnam. Ganun katindi, 13 anyos pa lang. Kayo ba may passport na? Alam nyo, you will be amazed. You thought you're just enjoying your Christian life, but God had greater purpose. Some of you never even imagine yourself going to the nation. I was in that same situation. In fact, I was a little bit negative and sarcastic. And little did I know that if you have the desire, God can send you through the nations and He will provide for you. Buong pamilya can go. Why not? Amen? And become part of this small short-term outreaches we have. Today, we have sent around 100 long-term Filipino missionaries in 29 nations. Hindi po to short-term, long-term missionary po ito. Taon-taon na dadagdagan po tayo. Every nation church is in 25 nations in Asia. Sa buong Asia, including South Asia, including Middle East, including Central Asia, 45 countries po yan. Nasa 25 na po tayo, 20 to go. And out of the 20, meron na tayong work going in 5 of those. Alam nyo, malayo na yung 10 taon. I believe we can establish our beachheads in these nations just in a matter of few years. Out of the 25 nations na meron tayo sa Asia, 17 is started by Philippines, by Victory Philippines. Amen. Sa Southeast Asia, kung nasaan po yung Pilipinas, meron pong 12 countries. In Southeast Asia, dalawa na lang pong bansa natira. Indonesia and East Timor. Why is Asia very strategic? If the world was a village of 100 people, this is how Asia looks like. One would be from Oceania, which is the New Zealand, Australia, Samoa, Fiji, Solomon Islands. Isa lang po. Kung isang daan ang tao lang sa buong mundo, isa lang from that region. As big as North America and Canada, only 5. 9 from Latin America, 12 Europe, 13 Africa. The rest, 60% is from Asia. Not only that, but Asia is home to 60% of the world's population. 60% ng buong mundo nasa Asia. And yet, we're only using 19% of the land. So that means ganun tayo ka-dense. Siguro ginawa ni Lord yun para mas madali nating ma-preachan yung mga kapitbahay natin. Not only that, 50 million people are born in Asia every year. Parang isang bansa yan every year. And 70% of Asia is below the age of 35. In terms of spiritual need, only 5%, 5 to 10% of Asians are Christians. 79% of the world's unreached peoples live in Asia. There are 52 restricted countries in the world. 37 of them are in Asia. And I'm happy to announce to you, out of 37, meron na tayong Every Nation Church in 18 countries out of the 37 countries. Hallelujah! In terms of opportunities for the gospel, there is unprecedented harvest. There are more Bible-believing Christians in Asia today than there are in North America put together. In China alone, 28,000 are saved every single day. The annual population growth for the last 5 years in Asia is 1.5%. Compare that with the growth of Christianity, which is 5.4%. That is 3 times the population rate. That means we are gaining ground. Church, the message is clear. Asia represents the largest, most dangerous, most significant, most strategic, but the most fruitful region or harvest field today. And reaching Asia boils down to our obedience. If our church will not do it, no one else will. We have an obligation. Guys, we truly have an opportunity collectively together to make a difference on the remaining nations that have yet to be reached. My message for us, all of us, can be involved. And one way we can be involved is by prayer. Commit to pray for a specific nation. Commit to pray even for a people group. Maybe you are burdened for Hindu people, maybe Buddhists, maybe Muslims. Every time you remember them, or maybe a particular country, every time Pakistan comes up in the news, or Sri Lanka, commit to pray for those. But the greatest thing you can do is to commit to pray for our missionaries. The second way to be involved is by going. We can go either as long-term. Alam ko, hindi lahat will go on long-term. But some of you here, maybe a few of you have been marked by God. Alam nyo, pag markado kayo, kahit ano nyo pang paikot-ikot yan, markado kayo. God has a call on your life and it is irrevocable. Hindi po lahat, pero merong iba sa inyo. I believe some of the finest missionaries the world will ever know will come from Victory Metro East. Amen? So, even though scars, we are committed to raise and train missionaries. Kaya tayo merong School of World Missions. I'm so happy to announce to you that 19 of them will be graduating this November. Some will be going to Saudi Arabia. Some will be going to Pakistan. Some to Bhutan. But it is so exciting about what God is doing in these nations. Of course, meron din po tayong short-term missionary program called 10 Days. Headed by Pastor Jonathan, 10 Days teams go throughout Asia to help plant or encourage our mission churches. Over the next several months, we'll be sending teams to these different countries. Meron po diyang website kung saan pwede po kayong mag-inquire. And finally, I wanted to say this, that all of us can participate by giving. I'd like to close with this. The way we have financed the work of missions is through our monthly giving. Meron po tayong dalawang envelopes. Pag ito po yung envelope sa puan ninyo tuwing linggo, yan po yung regular tithes and offerings natin. Pero once a month, every first Sunday of the month, ito po yung envelope makikita ninyo. That is Mission Sunday. It reminds you na hindi lang tithes and offerings ibibigay natin, but our monthly commitment. Since 1986, this is how we support missions. Every single peso you give is earmarked 100% to international cross-cultural church planting and long-term missionary work, visas, airfare, missionary care, all of that stuff. This work will never go any smaller. It will just grow bigger and bigger. But I'd just like to close giving you one more slide. Take a look up here. The average giving of the church worldwide, this is a universal fact, that 95% of our money goes into domestic operations. And rightly so. Pambayad po yan sa mga tubig, kuryente, rent ng place, especially if you're meeting in a mall like this. Hindi po tayo nagbabayad dito ng 50,000, 80,000, hundreds of thousands po yung binabayan dito, buwan-buwan. Aren't you glad, God, that God is providing? That's why not too many churches go to the mall, because it is so overwhelming. That's why we have to be faithful in giving our tithes, because it's the only way to meet the domestic needs. Now, assuming that the rest of the 5% is earmarked to missions. Now, in our case, we don't take it out of our general budget. We give missions outside of our tithes and offerings at 100% po yan, missions. But assuming lang, because this is a universal study, na yung iba, 5% binibigay sa mission, there are two kinds of missions. Regular missions are mission support to existing work. Yan po yung matagal na, 10 years na, 15 years na, sinusupport pa rin. But frontier missions is a type of mission that reaches the unreached. In fact, 42% of the world can only be reached through frontier or pioneering missions. Those are the Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, atheists. And look how much the church is giving. One half lang ng 1% does not make you wonder why we are not finishing the task of the Great Commission. Because the church is not giving properly to where it is really needed. I can assure you, church, that 98% of our giving goes directly to frontier mission where it really matters most. So I want to give you an opportunity. I want to pray for you right now. But remember this. It is not so much that we meet the budget. Our greatest desire, and I believe it brings joy to the heart of God, when everyone participate. Kasi kung may mga mayayaman, baka sabihin nila, o 10 na lang kami, kaya na namin lahat to. But that is not the goal. The goal is not just to meet the budget. The goal is for the whole body to be mobilized, kahit kukonti lang, involved tayong lahat. And this will break poverty in your lives. Remember, the place of blessing is not in the receiving, it's in the giving. Amen ba? Lord God, I just want to thank you for this church. Lord, I appreciate, Lord God, the involvement and the commitment of this church to pray, to go, and to give. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to our hearts, Lord God, how much we should give, Lord God, in this endeavor, which is very close to your heart. Lord, you said to us, pray to the Lord of the harvest that you will send forth laborers, for the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I want to pray right now as your head are bowed and your eyes are closed. If you are that person I talked about that's been marked for missions, maybe you don't know exactly how this is all going to go about, except that there is a stirring in your heart, a love for nations. You know, every time you think about nations, something is being stirred in your heart. I'm not saying that this is a finality, but just to take a step of faith so you know what step to take next. If you are that person, I want to pray for you. So things will become clear for you. If that's you, if there is a stirring in your heart, I'm not talking about short term, but really long term missionary call to the nations, would you please raise up your hand? And I just want to pray for clarity that God will show you what you need to do. If that's you, just raise up your hand. Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Anyone else here? Father God, you see these hands raised. Lord, it is you who said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Father God, I pray that you would, from this day on, have your hand upon these people. Lord, I ask that you would lead them what step to take next. Lord, if it's a legitimate call, I pray that they will find themselves serving you in the nations. Lord, I pray that you would open doors for them. Lord God, I pray that you would confirm every step that they're about to make. And we bless them, Lord God, for this noble cause and noble desire. We just bless them. And Lord God, I just pray that your grace will be upon them. We commend them into your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say a big, big amen.